Hello and welcome back to my FPL channel. I'm FPLD and today you are here for Game Week 35. Yes, I'm back with a differentials video. It has been 3 or 4 weeks since I last did one. And look, it is all about trying to get the upper hand. You might be going from 100,000 rank trying to get into like the top 50. You might be going from 15,000 rank, hopefully trying to get inside the top 5. You could be in the top 10,000, hoping to get inside the top 1,000. Well, you aren't going to do that if you've got the exact same team as everyone else. And I'm here today with my Game Week 35 differentials. And I also have the best assistant managers with table bonus covered in this video as well. If you are one of those people that are playing your assistant manager chip from Game Week 35 through to 37, without further ado, smash a like on the video, subscribe if you haven't already done so as well. Half my viewers haven't subscribed, so if you would keep watching my stuff, can you please do me a favor and do it? And without further ado, let's jump into it. Game Week 35 differential notes. What are the important things that you need to know? Well, we've got 4 weeks left, so this week is 25% of the remaining part of the season. And it is time to jump on board, make a few risks potentially to gain some rank, target the fixtures, and hopefully I've got all the players that you potentially need covered over the next few weeks. Now, for the goalkeepers, other than Raya, most of them are still fairly differential. They're all under 20% owned. I think Sells might be over 20% owned, but there are keepers in here we have to talk about. So Pickford, he is about 15.1% ownership, give or take. And obviously Martinez is quite high ownership as well. I think he's about 12. They are still pretty differential, and I've included them on this list because of the fact that they do, well, Pickford in particular, the next 3 weeks is probably the pick of the goalkeepers in the entire league, if I'm being brutally honest. And potentially my one transfer this week might be made on getting rid of Raya for Pickford, based on the fact that I think that he's going to be unbelievably good the next 3 weeks. Areola needs to be talked about. West Ham do have a nice run of fixtures, as does Flecken. And Becker, I mean, if you're after a Liverpool spot, I mean, Becker's pretty good. And if there is a penalty, he generally saves him. So yeah, that's all I'll say about that. In terms of the defenders, Dean still needs to be in this conversation, but I'm not covering him. He's definitely not in the top four this week. Mikalenko, Murillo, Wan-Bissaka, Konsa, Trippier. I mean, Trippier is just brilliant because he's on set pieces, and Newcastle will be pushing for that Champions League spot 100%, and I expect them to get it. Collins, Nico Williams, Sessegnon. I mean, Sessegnon the last 2 weeks has got like 22, 23 points over the last 2 weeks at 4.2 million. The dude is dirt cheap. Yes, they've got Aston Villa this week, but maybe you can take a risk and hope and back him in to score more goals. It's quite possible, I would think. In the midfield, we need to talk about Semenyo, Gibbs-White, Matoma. Matoma's been consistent, even though he's got all his points off the bench the last couple of weeks. De Bruyne, could this be a final swan song for him over the last 4 weeks? Trossard seems to get 90 minutes every week in the Premier League at the moment with the Champions League going on. He probably is, I would argue, probably Arsenal's best midfielder to buy at the moment. Gibbs-White, Alanga, Bowen, is Mali Assar still really good value under 10% ownership as well? I mean, it just depends on how much you think Crystal Palace are going to run out of gas with all the games they've played of recent times. Asensio, with Marcus Rashford being out, you'd think he's more likely to start more games than he's due to miss. Suchek, Enzo, who's been running the midfield for Chelsea because Cole Palmer's literally gone missing and he's gone completely cold. He's gone ice cold. Damsgaard, I mean, Brentford have an amazing run of fixtures here. Odango as well, because Van Lansen got sent off. We don't know if Bournemouth are appealing or what's going on there, but that means that Odango probably is going back up front. Maybe that's a risk you want to take, particularly with Arsenal this week, who might have their minds completely focused on the Champions League. And then Jota. I expect Jota to get more minutes now that Liverpool have won the league, and he could be a really good differential as well. In the forward line, it's Jorgen Strand Larsen, man. This dude just continues to score goals. Even with Cunha obviously getting the 15 points, Jorgen Strand Larsen still continues to tick over, and he's dirt cheap still. Jackson finally back in the goals off a ridiculously low XG chance, and he probably needs a bit more attention over the last 4 weeks as well, with Chelsea, again, going for that top four, top five, and the Champions League next season. They need their players like Jackson to be performing. Beto, that Everton run is no joke. Can he deliver like he did over that double game week back earlier on in 24 and 25 and around then, where he just went absolutely ham? Can he continue to do that? I'm not sure. Dalap, I think he's going to be great. His minutes have been a little bit concerning, but I think against the teams that they're going to be playing against the next 3 weeks, of next 4 weeks, I think Delap is an unbelievably good forward. The Vardy party also needs to be joined the party. And Solanke looked really good against Liverpool, but will he continue to do that? That's anyone's guess. Anyone's guess at this particular point in time. The teams to target, though, for game week 35 FDR are on the screen. Aston Villa, I mean, these teams have something to play for, generally speaking. I mean, not all of them do. But Aston Villa, Man City, Nottingham Forest, all fighting it out to finish in the top five. I think that they are perfect teams to target. They need to be winning games. Yes, I know Man City are in the FA Cup final, and we don't know what's going to happen there. Aston Villa might have them fixtures moved because of Tottenham, but I wouldn't do that because it's Spurs and we don't want them winning anything. And then obviously Nottingham Forest, they've obviously got the midweek game still to come in 34, but I'm expecting them to have a really strong finish to the end of the season, particularly defensively wise. The fixtures that they've got to come, Crystal Palace away, Leicester at home, West Ham away, Chelsea at home. I would expect Forest probably to keep three clean sheets out of those for the last four games. Man City, ditto. I expect them to probably keep a couple of clean. I don't expect Wolves to score against them this week, if I'm being brutally honest. Southampton away then, and then they've got Bournemouth at home and Fulham away. Some really good fixtures there. Brentford, though, are probably my favourite team. Now, Brentford potentially could push up into a Europa League conference spot. I don't know. But their fixtures on paper are just too good to ignore. Manchester United at home. Yes, I know we don't know how their assets go yet in game week 34 because they haven't yet played. Ipswich away also looks fantastic. And there's just so much to love about their end of the season. Then they've got Fulham and then Wolves. It's just an amazing four fixtures to finish the season. Everton, though, Ipswich at home, Southampton at home, two of the next 3 weeks. If you want a defensive addition, it's probably Everton. I can definitely see them keeping potentially three clean sheets over the next 3 weeks. I don't think they're going to do anything against Newcastle. So the last game week of the season, if you're on free hit strategy like I am for 38, you could load up an Everton defense, like maybe bring a Pickford in this week for Raya and be pretty happy with that. I mean, Pickford versus Ipswich at home and Southampton at home compared to Raya at home to Bournemouth and Newcastle at home in 35 and 37 respectively, I'd be backing in Pickford for clean sheets over Raya and those particular fixtures. And then obviously Raya in 36 has Liverpool away. Again, not the most ideal fixture in the world. Yeah, that's pretty much what you need to know. West Ham as well, also having a ridiculously good run to finish the season. Tottenham home this week, who are going to be all about the Europa League. And Ipswich away on the final day of the season. There is a lot to love about their assets over that coming period of time. The assistant managers over table bonus, game week 35. Now, if we look at game week 34, there were seven managers with table bonus in game week 34. And ironically, the only one that returned with anything other than the goals scored, and look, Husk or whatever his name is for Southampton, exceptionally unlucky. He was so close to getting table bonus in that game against Fulham. But Ruben Amorim got the table bonus in game week 34. He was the only one so far of the seven managers. Frank, potentially, I'm still expecting Frank to win against Brentford on Wednesday night. And if that happens, he will be exactly where I thought he would be, in number one spot with 20 points, potentially. Hopefully he is. Hopefully that is a sign that Brian and Puelma and Wissick can return for my team in that week as well. But this week, there's only four managers. Only four of the 10 games this week have table bonus. In fact, a lot of the bottom dwellers, like Southampton, Leicester, Ipswich, etc., they all play each other. So that's why there's no table bonus of all the rubbish teams. That's because they're essentially playing each other this week. Now, there's four options, and I think that they should be ranked in this particular order. So Oliver Glasner versus Nottingham Forest. I'm expecting that to probably, realistically, the best chance this week is definitely on Glasner versus Forest. If you're on the assistant manager chip, that's where I would be going. No questions asked. Nottingham Forest are definitely going to be on a low. Their defensive data is actually the fourth worst in the league over the last six or so weeks. So they are conceding lots of chances. And with the form that Palace were in against Aston Villa on the weekend in the FA Cup, I could see them causing some serious damage here. So for me, Oliver Glasner, all day long, he has to be number one. Then it's a bit of a lottery. I think all these ones actually have some sort of chance, realistic chance. Areola away at Arsenal, with them focus on the Champions League, screams to me like they could be taken advantage of. Now, the fact that Evanilson's out with suspension at this present point in time counts against him. But again, the way Bournemouth have been playing all season, especially against the big teams, I would be expecting them to really give Arsenal a game. I could easily see them coming away with a draw at the very minimum in this game. So that's got to be taken into account. Then we're looking at Hertzler versus Newcastle United. Now, this is the only home fixture, obviously other than Oliver Glasner, who's got Nottingham Forest at home. But I don't know about Hertzler. I think Brighton are in a weird, weird spot at the moment. I'm not sure what's going on with them. They've looked a bit average. They've looked very average, to be honest. I know they got a last-minute winner against West Ham, which is fantastic. Maybe that's the turnaround they need. I just think Newcastle are going to wipe the floor of them, if I'm being brutally honest. I can see Isak and Murphy combining for a number of goals in this game. So for me, I think that Hertzler, yeah, I think he's going to be not good. But when you're comparing with Pereira, maybe I'm doing Pereira a disservice, but they've got to go to Manchester City. Manchester City are going to be fully focused on getting that Champions League spot. They're not at their best this season, but I think that they'll count for Wolves. I can't see Wolves scoring in this game. Yes, I know Cunha's in amazing form. I know Jorgen Strand Larsen's in amazing form. I just think that Man City are going to be that switched on that they're barely going to see the ball. And for that reason, I just can't see any world where Pereira gets anything. So he comes in last on the rankings for game week 35 with managers with table bonus. The goalkeeper differentials. Now, as I said, this is the only spot where you'll see players on here over 10% owned. And that is because of the fact I just think that Pickford and Martinez, when I looked at the other goalkeepers, yes, Beck is under 10% ownership, but I don't like Liverpool's run. Most of them, I just didn't like the runs. And I can't be recommending people as a differential if they've just got no good fixtures. So for me, it was pretty simple. Pickford is definitely the one you want. Ipswich at home, Southampton home, two of the next three, Fulham away. The dude is going at 1.24 expected goals conceded per 90, which is amazing. 10 clean sheets, the most on this list by a country mile as well. Yes, he does cost you the most though. 5.1 million, he will set you back. And he is owned by 15.1% of the rest of the competition. When you compare his next 3 weeks to Raya, I think it's a no-brainer. I would expect Pickford to outscore Raya by a country mile. Do you want to be wasting a transfer on a goalkeeper? That is a conversation for a completely different time. But he's definitely the pick. Coming in at number two is Flecken, 8.9% ownership. Manchester United at home, Ipswich away, Fulham at home. Again, I would expect Brentford to probably keep two clean sheets out of the next three. I really don't think Man United are going to do much this particular weekend. His expected goals conceded per 90, though, is actually the worst. 1.57 expected goals conceded per 90. Only 5 clean sheets for the season, and he's only going to cost you 4.4 million. So that's nice. He's not going to be very expensive. When we go down to Areola, again, I mean, West Ham just haven't been keeping clean sheets, so it's very hard. Like, 3 clean sheets. I know, obviously, he's rotated with Fabianski this season, but he doesn't really look like keeping a clean sheet of recent times as well. Even against Southampton, they didn't keep one there. And obviously, that very last minute conceding, very painful for their owners. But Tottenham are home this week. I don't think Tottenham are going to show up to this game, if I'm being brutally honest. They're going to be very focused about the Europa League. I think if there's a chance of a clean sheet this week, it's probably Areola in this particular game. Manchester United away following a very good fixture again. Nottingham Forest at home, probably not so good after that. Again, 4.2 million, 1.48 expected goals conceded per 90, which is actually better than I thought it was going to be. But there you go, 4.2% ownership. And then Martinez, 12.5% ownership, 1.3 expected goals conceded per 90 is not ideal. Fulham at home, Bournemouth away, Tottenham at home, not the most conducive fixtures, but Martinez does quite often get a lot of save points. He's also very competent in saving penalties, so you could be relying on that as well. Again, only 5 clean sheets for the season at 5 mil. Yeah, there's a lot to love there, but Pickford is definitely the pick of the goalkeepers for game week 35. On to the defenders now for game week 35, and look, I think, again, you've just got to be playing the fixtures here, and for me, it's all about Collins, right? Collins looks amazing. Only 2.9% ownership. I can't believe this. When you look at the stats as well, it's hard to believe that not more people are jumping on board with this. 0.11 expected goal involvement per 90 minutes is pretty good for a bloke that plays in defense. 1.4 expected goals conceded per 90. Again, that's not ideal. And he's obviously only kept 6 clean sheets for the season. But he has scored 2 goals, 6 assists for the season. which is pretty damn good going. And at 4.5 million, he's pretty damn cheap as well. So, like, there is a lot to love there. And being only in 2.9% of teams screams differential. The fixtures also are a great play. Man United at home, Ipswich away, Fulham at home. Then we go on to Williams. 3.5. I still can't believe this guy's only 3.5% owned. Like, how? 0.14 expected goal involvement per 90. 1.31 expected goals conceded per 90, which has actually gone down, which coincides with the fact that I said Nottingham Forest have been a bit poorer defensively of late. One goal and only two assists for the season, but he's got 10 clean sheets. 10 clean sheets for the season is huge. Like, Nottingham Forest, just they give up a lot of XGI, but they generally keep clean sheets. They're the best in the league for it. 4.5 million, again, he's pretty damn cheap. There's a lot to love there. And it's a nice, easy way to get into that Forest defense if you don't want to spend up on too much money. Then we go to Mikulenko, who I would argue is probably the pick for the next 3 weeks. A bit like Pickford, 5.3% ownership. I can't believe he's only 5.3% ownership. 0.07 expected goal volume per 90. You don't buy him for his potential to return with an attacking return with only two assists for the season and no goals, but he's got 9 clean sheets. Like, Everton know how to keep clean sheets as well, a bit like Nottingham Forest. His expected goals conceded per 90 is only 1.18, which is unbelievably good. It's only behind like Liverpool defenders and Arsenal defenders. Everton have been unbelievably good, and there's a lot to love there. 4.3 million, pretty damn cheap as well, but those fixtures right in front of you, they scream clean sheets. And if you're after a cheap defender, he is definitely someone that you should be having on your radar this week. That is a differential to a lot of other teams. Lastly, we've got Wan-Bissaka. Again, the fixtures are pretty good. Tottenham are home, Man United away, Nottingham Forest are home, and then obviously Ipswich on the last day. 0.12 expected goal involvement per 90, which is not bad. 2 goals, 3 assists, again, not bad. 1.65 expected goals conceded per 90, though, is not fabulous, and that's where it gets kind of let down. Again, West Ham have only kept 5 clean sheets for the season, so that's not ideal either. But again, he's pretty damn cheap. 4.4 million. Yeah. But for me, it's either Mikulenko or Collins, I think, over the next few weeks in particular. Williams from 36 onwards looks amazing till the end of the season. But again, Mikulenko and Collins for me this week, they are the two best standout defenders in terms of differentials. The midfielders. Now, I don't know how Jarrod Bowen is still under 10% ownership. He will not be on this video next week. Surely he goes above 10% ownership. This dude is a machine. He's got unbelievable fixtures to finish the season. I've just talked about Wan-Bissaka. He's definitely going to be over 10% by the end of this game week. 9.1% ownership. He's a great captaincy choice this week as well against Tottenham at home. 0.26 expected goals per 90. 0.21 expected assists per 90. 9 goals and 10 assists for the season. That's 19 attacking returns at 7.6 million. That is unbelievably good value. Like, unbelievably good value. He is definitely the standout pick this week by a country mile. Now, if you are after a Nottingham Forest flavour, yes, they do have really good fixtures. Alanga is worthy shout. Hudson-Odoi is even a worthy shout, but it has to be Gibbs White. This man plays pretty much 90 minutes every single game week. Crystal Palace away, Leicester at home, West Ham United away. 3 really good fixtures for the next, in terms of attacking wise, for Nottingham Forest the next 3 weeks. 0.18 expected goals per 90, 0.16 expected assists per 90. His attacking returns, not as good as Bowen's, 5 goals, 10 assists, but he only costs you 6.4 million. So if budget's a problem and you're looking at the fixtures, Gibbs White is still a really good shout. Yes, he hasn't returned much over the last 5 or 6 weeks, but I think with the fixtures turning now for Forest, getting significantly easier, I would expect him to get back into the attacking returns. He's got 15 for the season. There's no reason why he can't finish with 18 to 20 by the end of the season with the run of fixtures they've got coming up. Then it's on to Kevin De Bruyne. Now, this is a bit of a punt because of the fact that you are relying on Pep Roulette, and we all know what Pep Roulette is like. Sometimes you get benched. Kevin De Bruyne has played the last 4 games in a row, pretty much played 90 minutes. It's always what you're worried about. Will that mean that he gets benched this week? Probably not. I mean, he got rested in the FA Cup, didn't start that game. And his stats are pretty damn good. Yes, he's been injured for a lot of the season, so he hasn't got as many attacking returns as the others. But when you look at the underlying attacking data, 0.22 expected goals per 90, 0.35 expected assists per 90, 3 goals, 9 assists. He is expensive, though. 9.4 million, and you are backing in that Pep's going to start him. Because if he doesn't start him, 9.4 million is a lot of money to have on your bench. The one thing I will say is he scored 4 goals in a game against Wolves before. In fact, it wasn't even that long ago. So maybe I mean, he's got two more home games at the Etihad Stadium. Maybe he's going to sign off in some style. Maybe he is the player that you want to buy and take a bit of a punt on. But I don't know. I'm not sure. But I think he's a really good option. 7.2% ownership. He would be the definition of a differential that a lot of people haven't got. And it could massively boost your rank. We just have to wait and see. Then on to the last one, and this guy is the ultimate differential. 1.2% ownership, and look, everyone's talking about Brian and Mbeumo. Everyone's talking about Wissa as the two most important Brentford assets. You could look at Shade here. You could look at Norgaard even, but Damsgaard's definitely the one. The dude's got 2 goals and 9 assists for the season. He's only 4.9 million. It's dirt cheap. 0.1 expected goals per 90, 0.21 expected assists per 90. Just look at the fixtures. Just remind yourself of those fixtures again. Manchester United at home, in the middle of that Europa League tie. Then they've got Ipswich away, and we all know that Brentford love beating up on the promoted teams. They've done it all season long, and the corresponding fixture at home was 4-3. There was 4 goals for Brentford in that game. Yes, they conceded, not ideal, but I would expect them to score at least a few goals against Ipswich away, and then obviously they got Fulham at home. I just think that, you know, there's no bad option of the four midfielders here. They're all really low owned. I expect them all to pop off over the next 3 to 4 weeks. There's a lot to love, and I wouldn't be too concerned with anything else other than the fact that how many points are you going to get from all of them. And lastly, that brings us to the Game Week 35 forward differentials. Now, the Vardy party will want to atone for his nonsense where he missed that penalty against Wolves on the weekend, 100%. 4.5% ownership. I mean, the fixture ticker for Leicester and Ipswich is actually really good towards the end of the season. Jamie Vardy, 0.36 expected goals per 90, 0.09 expected assists per 90. He's got 7 goals and 4 assists, so only 11 attacking returns this season, but he hasn't played in every game. 5.3 million, he's not going to break your bank. In fact, he's going to be a very good enabler, particularly from wildcard. Southampton at home this week. Could you bring him in and captain him? I've already had someone get to me in my comments about the fact that they're pretty much bringing in Vardy this week and they're captaining him. Nottingham Forest away, followed by Ipswich at home. So, I mean, two of the next three are unbelievably good fixtures for Jamie Vardy. Maybe he signs off his Leicester career in style. I hope he does. I hope he gets absolute goals and goes absolute ham and celebrates at home with the crowd. Southampton home and Ipswich at home, two home fixtures. Surely they break the drought at home, and surely it's going to be Jamie Vardy. Well, look at Strand Larsen. Now, Strand Larsen's only 5.2% owned, and yes, Man City away is not a good fixture, and they're kind of middling fixtures post this, but Strand Larsen's been super consistent. He's now got 6 goals in his last 6 weeks, and it doesn't seem to matter what the fixture is. Expected goals per 90 of 0.36 now. That is steadily increased over the last 6 or so weeks. 0.04 expected assists per 90. He's now got 13 goals and 2 assists for the season. So this dude's banging him in. And remember, he's not on penalties. So it's 13 goals that aren't penalties. That's really good output for someone they've only bought this season. And again, they're going to be relying on him next season, because Cunha is 100% going to be leaving in the summer. 5.4 million, that's really good value as well. Then we go to Liam Delap. And Liam Delap's minutes over the last 3 or 4 weeks have not been great. He started on the bench twice. But with the run of fixtures they've got, Everton away, Brentford at home, Leicester away, I just think over the next 3 weeks, Liam Delap's going to be getting returns and he'll be getting some goals. Again, 0.34 expected goals per 90, 0.05 expected assists per 90. All these three players, Vardy, Strand Larsen, and Delap, all have very similar underlying attacking data. He's expected assists per 90, as I said, 0.05, 12 goals and 2 assists. So he's got 14 attacking returns this season. Very similar to Strand Larsen, only a goal behind him. Obviously, those two significantly more than Vardy, but they've also played significantly more minutes than Vardy this season. Again, there's not much to split him. 5.6 million for Liam Delap, 3.2% ownership. I mean, those three are all just great differentials. And I think that the fixtures are there to take a wild punt on any of those three, to be honest. And then it brings me Nicholas Jackson. Now, Nicholas Jackson, when you look at the fixtures, Liverpool at home, Newcastle away, Manchester United at home. Man United home in 3 weeks' time looks really good. But Chelsea need the points. They have something to play for. Liverpool have won the title. I think this is the week where Chelsea can exploit that. And I think Jackson will return this week. 0.49 expected goals per 90, 0.08 expected assists per 90. He's got 10 goals and 6 assists, so that's the most attacking returns on this list. That's 16 attacking returns for the season. He is the most expensive, though, 7.7 million. He is going to cost you a bit, and he's the most owned as well. 6.7% ownership. Probably a lot of dead teams still have him from when he was good, and then just have forgotten about FPL and have not returned since. But again, he looks really good. I don't know. I don't know if I'd actually be going with any of these ones in particular myself. But if you're buying and you're on wildcard, you want to spend money elsewhere, all these four could be really good punts over the next 3 weeks. So look, there's a lot to love there. And yeah. So that brings us to the end of differentials for game week 35 with the assistant managers, with table bonus. Let me know whether any of these guys tickle your fancy. Are you bringing in any of these guys? Are you taking a punt on a Jamie Vardy party? Are you bringing in Jared Bowen? Because you could just see that there's going to be more points. The dude's on back-to-back 9-point hauls as well. Look, there's a lot to love about all these guys. I potentially, myself, are looking at a goalkeeper transfer or a defender transfer. Unless we get news that Erling Haaland is fit, then it'll be a Marmoush to Haaland transfer. But that might be what happens for my team in game week 36. Again, I'll be back tomorrow with a wildcard draft for game week 35, if that is where you are. Again, I hope to see you then if you are on wildcard. Otherwise, I'll see you for transfer tips, which will be back this week as well on Thursday. That's been the D Unit. Make sure you drop us a like and subscribe if you haven't done so already. And I'll catch you again soon.